Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael from the Beulah Tabernacle Church. This is Tuesday, July 7th, 2020, and we are grateful to God for the privilege and the opportunity to gather together tonight for prayer and the study of God's Word. The Bible lets us know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And tonight, I'm grateful to God for those of you that are with us, because your presence alone indicates that you have chosen to live by God's word. And so without any further ado, as we continue our Luke 8 series, we're going to begin with a word of prayer. Let's look to the Lord, bowing our heads and humbling our hearts. Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We seek your direction now, even through your word. Thank you that we have access into your presence through our Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Thank you that we have the forgiveness of our sins, that we don't have to walk around in guilt and condemnation, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we have relationship with you. Oh, we bless your dear name, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the powers of darkness, and you have translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. We thank you for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, for that is the kingdom of God. I ask now that you would anoint us afresh as we open up the pages of your holy word, that you would speak to our hearts, give us direction, Lord. We seek you now, for all things come from you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. And so in confidence, we turn to you, trusting and believing that your word will work in us as it has worked in times past. So bless us, Lord, that our faith would rest in your word and not the words of man. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless every student on this line, that they will be enriched through the lesson tonight. And even in the midst of our prayer, that faith would increase, that you might be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you tonight. We are grateful to God to be able to have this opportunity to come with you again. As the Lord had impressed upon our hearts, we know that this is a year where God has given us the inspiration and the focus and theme of all I see is victory. And we take that, we don't take that lightly at all. God has positioned us in this year, 2020, and God knows when we first came into this year, it certainly was very optimistic. We had no idea of what we were stepping into, but God knew from the very beginning. And even as I shared with you, for the beginning of the year, or from the beginning of the year, the theme is all I see is victory. I want to give you the scripture context for that. The scripture context for that is the most unique passage of scripture. For as this year is the year 2020, one of the two verses that form the foundation for this declaration comes out of the 20th verse of the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Praise the name of God. How easy that is for us to remember. And I must tell you that as I was coming into 2020, that I was looking for scripture, I was seeking God's direction for the verse of scripture to correlate with the theme. And I went through every book of the Bible to see what Bible, what book had a 20th chapter and a 20th verse. And lo and behold, it was this. And 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Praise the name of God. The history of that text, I'm going to let you read it. It's about a battle that Jehoshaphat faced against enemies that were, in his perspective, insurmountable, except for divine intervention. And when you read that Second Chronicles chapter 20, you'll get the story and you'll get the revelation. But that was so powerful that for the year 2020, right in God's word was a 2020 that correlated with the theme he put in my spirit. The second verse that goes along with this theme, for those of you taking notes, is 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And that says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so these two passages of scripture combine, make up the biblical basis for the theme of the year, all I see is victory. And I wanted to share that with you all tonight because it's important that you understand the foundation for what God is speaking to us this year. He gives us a divine directive to inspire us, to focus us, and to give us strength to grow. Now, of course, you can grow off of all of God's word, all 66 books, praise the name of God, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. You can grow off all of that, but it's an awful lot to try to digest. Some of you have taken the picked up the mantle of committing to reading the entire Bible in a year. I so want to commend you. And I want to encourage you to keep up that great work. Some of us have joined an online group, We Read the Bible. It's a Facebook fan group, and it has caused many, many thousands of people to pick up their Bible and read it like never before. Last year, there was about 200 people in the group. This year, it's almost 5,600 people in the group. What a stirring of the hearts of those who know that God's word is critical for such a time as this. So if you haven't started something like that, I want to encourage you to do it. If you have a Facebook account, I want to encourage you to use this group. All you're asked to do is read 4 chapters a day. And even though we're already in the middle of the year, it doesn't matter. Pick up the scriptures. If you want to start with the New Testament, feel free to do that. But what's important is a daily reading of God's word. I promise you, you're going to feel the difference. And I don't just mean spiritually, but I mean physically. You're going to feel the difference. Total change. Spirit, soul, and body will be affected by your constant reading of God's word. So I want to encourage you along those lines. We're going to shift gears a bit now to focus on more of what the Lord has for us right now. The Lord put us in Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, there are 7 sections, or what we've started calling episodes. And what this approach is, what we're doing here, is we are helping you to learn how to study God's word. It's great to read it. But one of the things that Paul admonished Timothy to do, and I don't believe it was just for those that were taken to the ministry of the gospel preaching, I believe this is good for all of us, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so as a steward of God's word, as a believer in God's word, I think it's important that we be students in the word of God, and lifelong students. As a matter of fact, you might have been saved for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, 40 years, some of us are. But I got news for you. The word of God never gets stale. It never gets old. And the more you read it, the more you glean from it. Even passages that are familiar to you, when you approach it with an open heart and you ask God to give you understanding, I promise you, you're going to get something new each time you go to the well. And so today, we're going to continue under the idea, give a person a fish and you feed that person for a day. Teach a person to fish and you feed that person for a lifetime. The Lord had put it in my heart as your shepherd, as your overseer, as your bishop, as your pastor, as your friend or mentor, to teach you how to dig into the Word of God. Now, you may have commentaries, you may have study material, and that's all well and good. But I want to help you to understand the richness that you can glean from God's Word simply by reading His Word prayerfully and with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is going to make things clear to you. The Bible says that the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolish unto him. But the power of the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. And I want to encourage those that may not have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. I promise you that even in your study of God's Word with this approach, that there are certain things that you're going to grasp. You're not wasting time. You're not losing time. And this is a dialogue session. And so although it's being recorded, it is a very much a dialogue session. And so we're going to get into it right now. Last week, we did episode 1. As I told you, when we approach the chapter, we want to break the chapter up into what could be considered logical parts so that when we study it, we don't have to try to eat the whole thing at one time. Nobody ever eats a plate of food in one bite. You take a forkful and then you work your way through it. And so what we're doing is we're approaching this beautiful panorama of Luke chapter 8, taking forkfuls. And so we have 7 different sections. And just from a study standpoint, we're calling them episodes. You can call them whatever you want. You can call them sections. You can call them subsections. You can call it really whatever you want. But I like the word episode because most of us have been watching TV and we're excited about the idea after you finish looking at one episode that the next one to come is going to be just as exciting and you get hooked on it. And some people binge watch. They go from one episode to another episode and they just keep on watching, watching, watching. Well, that's the kind of attitude and the spirit I want you to develop for the Word of God, that you just can't get enough. And so the word episode is what we are going to be using. And I believe that God put that in my spirit. And so I'll share it with you. Last week, we went through episode 1. Episode 1, we called it the beginning. Praise the name of God. We went through the first 3 verses. Episode 1 included verses 1-3. And what we saw here was that the healing business began. This is where it all began. Some of us called it the beginning. Truly, that's what it was. It was a beginning. Some of us gave it the name healing business. And another recommendation, our idea came as class is in session. And I like that particularly as well, because what we see going on in chapter 8 is a lot of teaching. There's a lot of lessons. And so that's a real great heading or topic or name for that episode. And as we go through each one, we'll come up with names for each episode. And again, because this is interactive, we're going to get involved in reading and sharing, and we're going to jump right into it. Today, episode number 2 covers chapters verses 4 through 18. Pardon me, again, verses 4 through 18. And this is the parable of the, I'm sorry, did I say 18? I think I might mean 16, verse 16. Let me just take a look. Yes, because verse episode 3 talks about a candlestick and taking heed how we hear the word. So we're going to make a slight adjustment. I'm going to share this out with you in the chat. So it may almost be that we've got 8 episodes here instead of 7. So episode 2 actually goes to verse number 16. It goes to verse number 15. And I'm going to put this in the chat in a second. Just bear with me while I type it in. Verses 16 through 20 is another episode. There's a couple things going on there. But for episode 2, we're talking about verse 4 through 15. And again, I'm going to put this in the chat so that you can make a note of it. You want to make sure that that you see this information that we're sharing with you. And you can make a note of it yourself. Okay, so episode 1 includes verses 1 through 3. Episode 2 includes verses 14 through 15. And you have probably been reading it, as I certainly recommend that you read chapter 8 of Luke and read it in different translations. We talked about that last week as well, for you to get a broader perspective of the actual meaning with more common English. The King James English may be a little challenging to read sometimes and to understand, and so other translations can be very helpful. A translation that I've been using is called the Amplified Translation, and there's several others that you can use, but that's certainly one that I found very helpful. Let's dig in. Episode 2. Now, we know that this is dealing with the parable of the sower and the seed. And so it's pretty simple in that we kind of know what it is. But does anybody have another title for this? Because we've got two things going on here. We've got the parable shared and then the parable explained. Anybody had given any thought to another name for this episode? And I think you're able to unmute yourselves. If there isn't anyone that has had an idea about another title, that's fine. We don't have to struggle with that or spend too much time on it. Certainly the parable of the seed and sower is good enough, because that's really what it's all about. It's about the sower and the seed. Seed and the sower and the seed, whichever way you want to say it. But let's do some reading. Yep.
Could I give a topic?
Sure.
Cultivation.
Cultivation. Oh, I like that. I like that. Woo! All right. See, you all are really, y'all are getting it. Y'all are getting it. I feel it in my spirit. I see I've got a story to tell. Is that for episode 2, Denise?
Sister Yulet, yes, Bishop. Episode 2.
Okay. No, Sister Denise put something. I've got a story to tell in the chat.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, Bishop.
Okay, and that's yes for episode 2. Okay. I've got a story to tell. Okay. And Sister Bernadette, the explanation. Okay. Okay. I love it. Agriculture 101. I love the thought going into this. This is good. This is very good. So let's go into it now. Okay, so I need some readers. I'm going to tell you what I need to be read. We're starting at verse 4. I'll read verse 4. I need somebody to take one verse apiece through verse number 15. One verse apiece. And we're just going to open it up and we're just going to read. If somebody starts reading at
number 5.
Right, don't worry about it. We're just going to open up and you can read the verse. If somebody starts reading above you or y'all read together, one person can just back down, the other person can read, but don't let's not be slow with it, let's be snappy with it. Okay, okay. Beginning at verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every country, he spake by a parable. You know what? I need to stop right there for a minute. Let's look at this. And this is a part of this whole process, because remember the four parts to this. There are four different parts to this analysis process. And I'm going to put it in the chat for the benefit of those that may not have been here last week. And even for those that might need a bit of a refresher, I'm going to put this in the chat for you right now so that you can remember how we are approaching this chapter and how you can approach all chapters in terms of your reading to get an understanding of what's going on. So you see the four different points in the chat. Information basically asks the question, what's going on? Observation, it addresses the question, what do you make of it or how do you see it? Education answers the question, what is the lesson? And application asks the question, how does this apply to you? Or how do I apply it to my life? And so make a note of this. Information, observation, education, and application. Very important that you understand this principle. This is the stuff that we're going for when we do the reading. That's the stuff that we're going for. And certain verses may answer certain one of these points, or you may take a verse like verse 4 and begin to extrapolate some stuff right there. It says, much people were gathered together. So this was no small crowd. It was a large crowd that was gathered together, and they came to Jesus out of every city. Jesus must have had something that people wanted. And rest assured, he didn't walk around with a Home Depot. He didn't walk around with a trailer truck with goods in it. He wasn't passing out government cheese. He wasn't giving away free clothes. He wasn't giving away powdered milk. He wasn't giving away canned goods. He was sharing the word. He was sharing the word. And large crowds came from everywhere, from every city, to hear him speak. There must have been something about his words that was so powerful that drew such a crowd. Let us glean from that, that God, the word that Jesus speaks, we need to hold it to the same level of importance, that whatever we're doing, that when he begins to speak, it causes us to drop what we're doing and we give him our attention. People came from everywhere to hear what Jesus had to say. And I'm going to ask you to begin to understand how very important it is for you to have the same attitude and the same response. This information is not just historic information, but it is transformational information. Praise the name of God. Much people came from where he was. A lot of people came to hear what he had to say. Okay, somebody read verse 5. Sister Marbury, I thought you were going to read that. Okay.
A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it.
Okay, thank you. So here we go. We got somebody going out with seed, the sower. And what we know that a sower is a person that plants. And so this sower or husbandman went out to plant or to sow his seed. We know that as it relates to agriculture, you don't get what you don't put in. The ground will only yield what you put into it. And so clearly the sower is going out with the intention of getting some return. So let's understand that. The sower went out and sowed his seed. And here now we go into the juicy part of this episode. The first thing that we see is that some of the seed fell by the wayside. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask somebody to read 5. Sister Claudia, thank you for reading verse 5. Somebody do 6, somebody do 7, somebody do 8. Let's go.
And some fell upon a rock, and soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture.
Thank you.
And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it.
Thank you.
And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Thank you so much. So here we have the parable given. The story is shared, and we know that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In other words, it is a story that finds its origin in common everyday experiences, but the truth of it goes deeper to a spiritual level. So clearly, sowing seed, that's not anything that's out of the ordinary. That's something that's a part of the everyday life of these people. They can relate to it. And that's the thing about a parable. It's relatable. It's a story that people can relate to. So the parabolic method of teaching is not limited to Jesus, but is something that even any of you that are teachers on this line can use to bring persons to a level of knowledge of some spiritual things, to share with them a natural story and then share with them a spiritual meaning to it. So let's take a look at these verses, 5, 6, 7, and 8. In each case, the sower is sowing seed. Seed is going everywhere. Seed is going everywhere. It's going by the wayside. It's going on rocks. It's going amongst the thorns. It's going on good ground. There is no limit to where the seed is being sown. There's no restrictions to where the husbandman or the farmer is dropping seed. Oftentimes, you know that farmers will put their seed in good ground. They're not going to try to put their seed in ground that they don't expect to have a harvest from. But interestingly here, in this case, the sower is sowing seed everywhere. Sounds like the gospel to me. Sounds like the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Sounds like the message of God's word that is given to all mankind. And so let's understand that the intent to share the gospel is not just for your favorite few, not just for the people that are closest to you. Of course, you can share it with your friends. Of course, you can share it with those that are close to you. But everyone needs to hear the word. Everyone needs to hear the word. And what I think is powerful from this is that the sower understanding the value of the seed. My God, somebody needs to write that down. There's value in the seed. This seed has power to produce, to sow. I'm sorry, to bring a harvest. So you reap. The reaping was expected behind the sowing. So the seed was valuable. When you are living based upon agriculture and you're depending on your harvest, you don't put your seed any place you don't think you're going to get results. But look at God. Look at God. Look at God. He is putting his seed everywhere. And I think that despite the analysis that we're going to glean from this text, that there's something about the seed that no matter what kind of ground it falls on, it actually has the capability of changing the ground. Now, it's the ground is the response. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in the lesson. I'm feeling excited about it right now. And we're going to end shortly tonight because I want to pray with you all. But tonight, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, they show us that there's four different areas. Four different areas, and each of these areas are critical, and it's important for us to understand what these areas represent, because every one of us is one of these four areas. Every one of us is one of these four areas. Verse number 9 is a transitional verse. So verse 5, 6, 7, and 8 give you the high level. It tells you that there is the wayside, there is the rock ground or shallow ground. That's the soil, the ground where it's a shallow soil covering, but below that exterior is rock. The third is the thorns, and the fourth is good ground. When we look at verse 5, we see something happen when the seed is sown. Fowls come and devour it. The seed has no time to take root because the birds of the air come and devour it. That sounds like a thief. That sounds like a thief. Not only was it devoured, but look at what it says. Right after it says, it fell by the wayside. What does it say after that? Somebody.
It was trodden down.
It was trodden down. In other words, it was trampled. It was trampled. It was stepped upon. It's almost a brutality in that verse. The picture in my spirit is one of brutal treatment, harsh treatment, intentional, destructive treatment. And the character that is behind that is the devil. The devil is the character that seeks to trample the word in your spirit and to trample you, and not only to trample it, but to trample you. Birds that come to devour it, I get in my mind vultures. So we've got a brutal act of trampling, stomping, and vultures coming by to scoop it up, to devour it. I see a picture of the devil. And you've got to be careful, because the devil will come to steal the word out of your spirit. The moment you hear it, he'll try to snatch it up. Verse number 6, it fell upon a rock. Now, when you look at this in another translation, it helps you to understand that it wasn't just rock, but it was shallow ground. It was shallow ground that covered a rock. It says that it sprung up soon. So a seed can't spring up on a rock. It has to have some soil covering, but this is a thin layer. And how do we know that it's thin? Number one, we know that it's soil. Second thing is that it was on a rock. And the third point is because it lacked moisture. A ground that has moisture is rather deep. It's not surface. This verse 6 talks about a surface receiving of the word of God. We're going to get deeper into this as we go into the explanation of the parable. This is just an introduction to this parable with these verses. Verse 6 talks about a shallow experience. Shallow experience. The soil is a thin layer. It's covering a rock, and there's no moisture. Moisture is necessary. With the Psalms 1 profile talks about a tree planted by rivers of water. And that connection does not only speak of the fact that it was a tree, that it had roots, but the ground that it was in was good ground because it was watered ground. It had moisture in it, and you need moisture to grow. We're not talking about growing cactus. Oh, God, how about that? There are certain things that grow in dry and arid places. Lord have mercy. Cactus. You don't want to be like a cactus. Lord have mercy. Prickly, painful. You know, anybody that would embrace a cactus is bound for pain. That's a word right there. Anybody that embraces a cactus, you are bound for pain. God did not save you or bring you to the truth for you to be a cactus. He wants you to grow, and your growth is going to require moisture. Let's go on to verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. So you had two things going on here. You had the word being sown. You had some growth being manifested, but at the same time, you had some adverse activities simultaneously occurring. You had growth and you had challenge. You had growth and you had problems. You had growth and you had difficulties. You had growth and you had what we'll find out later are the cares of this life. What is this telling me? It's telling me that just because I have the luxury of the word doesn't mean I will not have that it doesn't mean that I'll have the luxury of no problems. The luxury of the word of God will not exempt me from the problems of life. I don't get a get out of life free card just because I know scripture. As a matter of fact, the more scripture I know, the more the enemy is going to challenge me, because he's going to come as that fowl to try to devour it. He's going to come with that spirit of trampling to destroy it. He's going to try to make me live, try to entice me to live a shallow life so that I'm only coming to church to get my next spiritual fix. The devil is a liar. We're not living by emotion. We can express emotion, but we're living by faith. The Bible says Paul wanted the people of God to know the word of God so that their faith would not stand in the words of men, but in the word of God. That's choking, verse number 7. Choke. That's a violent act. That's an act that cuts off airflow. And we know that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Airflow is critical to life. And you got to be careful, because the stuff that's messing with your airflow will choke the word out of you if you don't be careful. You've got to rebuke the devil. We're going to get deeper into this. And I know it's already 7:41. I'm going to get into the prayer in a minute, but I got to get through verse 7 and verse 8 with you. Verse 8 talks about the good ground. And this is where you want to be. You want to be here. You don't want to be on the trample side of this, where the word comes and then it's immediately snatched away. You don't want to be on the shallow ground where the word comes, it takes a little bit of root, but because you don't have deep roots, you don't have any growth. You don't want to be like those that are like amongst the thorns. And the thorn exposition is going to take us to a point where we see that sometimes what we experience in life, and life is life. There's nothing you can do about life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, but that you might have it more abundantly. And what the devil is going to try to do is make your life miserable. Sometimes he doesn't want to kill you. He just wants to make your life miserable. He wants to make your life a living hell. And to do that, he will try to use the very common experiences of life, magnify those experiences in your life to cause you to lose confidence in God's word. We heard already in this chapter, and we saw how the disciples were with Jesus on a ship. They went out into the Lake of Galilee, and how that a storm came up. We saw how that Jesus was asleep in the midst of the storm, and the only thing that woke Jesus up was those fearful disciples. I'm going to shift back to verse 8. And others fell on good ground. And that good ground was the kind of ground that produced a harvest, sprang up and bear fruit. So we're not just talking about a twig and a leaf. We're talking about fruit. Some people are content with twigs and leaves, but no fruit. You want the corn to come up. You don't want just the blade and the leaf. You want the corn to come up. You remember Jesus went to the fig tree when he was on his way into Jerusalem, and passing by it, he was hungry and he saw that it had leaves and it should have had fruit. And when he went to it and didn't have fruit, he cursed it. And he cursed it because it was perpetrating a fraud. It should have had fruit on it. If it had leaves, there was supposed to be something else there. And I want you to understand that God has saved you to be fruitful. You can't let your past life dominate your current life, because the past life wasn't working. That's why God saved you out of it. That's why God delivered you out of it. And you, if you go back to the past life, you are turning your ground into a state that you can't bear fruit. You got to be careful, because the ground is your heart. And if you don't allow your heart to be open to receive God's word, whether you like it or not, God's word is not designed to be, not designed to pacify you. It doesn't have to agree with you. You got to agree with it. And in the judgment, you're not going to have the luxury of saying, "Oh God, it was so hard. I just couldn't do this same thing. It really wasn't for me." Well, it's not for any of us, because if it wasn't for God's grace, none of us would be saved. We're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 8 and 9, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. We are his workmanship. He's making us every day. And so the story of the seeds, this agriculture 101, praise the name of God, this cultivation, wow, that's a powerful word. cultivation, it talks about time. And I want you to understand, you got to give God's word time in your spirit. You got to take it in. You got to digest it. You got to pray on it and say, Lord, help me to understand this. So we've gotten information. We've got observation. And we've got a little bit of education tonight. And we got a little bit of application. But I'm going to ask each one of you to take verses 4 through 15. And I'm going to ask you to write four truths out of this. Four truths about each one of these types of ground. And put it in the form of a warning. Four truths about each ground and put it in the form of a warning. So, for example, let's take the text that we read before about taking a candle and putting it under a bushel or putting it under a bed. You have received the light to shine. The warning, don't let anything put your light out. You have received a light to shine. Don't let anything put your light out. That's an example of what I want you to do with each one of the grounds. There's four types of grounds between verses 4 through 15. I want you to write a truth about the ground and put it in the form of a warning. Put it in the form of a warning. And why a warning? I think that people take the word of God too lightly. And I think they take it like a menu that they review in a restaurant. They'll look at it, they'll pick something from it, and then they'll make the choice to do something other. I don't want spaghetti. I want shrimp. I don't want beef. I want poultry. Well, the Word of God is not a pick and choose menu. It's not General Cho's chicken or shrimp fried rice or beef and broccoli. It's the Word of God. And we need to approach it as such, because when it comes down to living, my friend, there is no other way than to live by God's word. And I don't want you to let anybody make you think that you are stupid, that you are foolish, that you don't know what's going on. I promise you, when Jesus comes back again and you've been living according to God's word, the only person that will be foolish and stupid and act like they didn't know what was going on are those who refuse to accept the word of God and find themselves left behind. I don't want y'all to be left behind. I don't want you to be left behind. And I'm going to end it on that note. I need you to bow your heads for a moment of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, there's so much to give and so much to share, so much to know, but I thank you that it's right in front of us. You've encapsulated it in 66 books, given us the richness of your word. You've told us to read it, to prayerfully study it, to apply it to our lives. And even now, I ask that you will bless every person on this line, that as they study Luke 8, Lord, I want them to know it like the back of their hand. I want them to know it so they can talk about it without reading anything off the page. So bless, Lord, as we take this text, episode 2, verses 4 through 15, the parable of the seed and the sower, cultivation, agriculture 101, the explanation. I've got a story to tell. All of these episode titles, powerful in their own right. So let us come out of this with the four truths about each ground that will change our lives forever. Help us to see ourselves if we're in a place that we shouldn't be. Help us, Lord, to get to where we need to be, so that we become the good ground that yields a harvest. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm sorry that I had to cut the lesson short tonight, but I needed to make it short. Please keep me in your prayers, as I keep all of you in my prayers as well. I love you in the Lord, and I can't wait to get back with you on next week. We're going to dig deep next week. So make sure you have your notebooks, make sure you have your pen and your Bible, and I can't wait to hear what you all have to say concerning the four truths about each one of these grounds and putting it in the form of a warning. God bless you. May the God of our salvation keep you, preserve you, and help you to be blameless in his presence on the day of his coming. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a good night.